What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who loved their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. They call the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and sea. From bad law, we will keep our people free. Through the jury, we'll guard our liberty. Such preacher men today to show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell do not prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny and teach his people liberty. Liberty to exercise all their granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and sea. From bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. Speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, this jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit for a people who love their liberty. For a people who will die for.
And good morning and welcome to LaPorte Church of Christ. It is November 2nd, 2025, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here with us this morning. I hope you enjoyed that Truth for the Times with Pastor Peters and Pastor Earl Jones, and I really enjoyed it. Watched it yesterday again when I was getting it ready, and there is, you can go to the website. I did get several emails and a couple of texts. And we actually already had a couple orders that came in for it. I do have that on the cart. If you'd like the Truth for the Times broadcast, you can go to our cart at our website. You can order that DVD, the CD, and we also have that book that they talked about, Christians Before Columbus. Fantastic book. We've reprinted that book several times. It's been a good one over the years, and you know, with so many things that are going on in the world and people saying, you know, talking about, there's this new, well, I'm not going to say it's a new movement, but there's people that are, you know, coming out and exposing the Jews left and right and for what they've done. I think it is important that we, you know, show these truths. And these truths are stuff that, you know, you're not going to find it on your mainstream media. But it shows that, you know, the Christian people were here before Columbus, and it's another one of those lies being exposed. And I think it ties in with what we're seeing and the awakening that's happened. And that's why I wanted to make sure and play those. But do encourage you to go to the website and order that book, Christians Before Columbus, and you know, order that Truth for the Times broadcast on DVD or CD. It's just a fantastic tool that shows just a lot of facts and a lot of proof. And I was encouraged by that. I hope you are as well. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. And we just ask, Father, that you shine your face down upon us as we assemble together here, and those that gather with us through the internet and those that gather with us through DVD Church. Lord, we're thankful for each and every one of them. And Lord, we just ask that you cleanse and purify our hearts and our minds, and that we can put away the cares of the world and seek your face. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We're going to start off, Justice wanted to start off this morning with the song Choices. So we'll have that coming up now.
You've paid for all the wrong things I have done. now, Jesus, from sin I do run. Now I'm winning as I live life your way. Oh, Jesus, forgave the wrong choices I've made. Now the choices made when I was born again are the voices that keep me from all sin. And now I listen. On the rock I stand today, ready to die for the choice that I've made. Willing to die for the choice that I've made.
Well, and as a way of announcements, we recently just got back in another book that I've been looking for a long time, and it's called The Plot Against Christianity. And it is a book that it was a book that Pastor Peters, you go ahead, put it up.
Okay.
That Pastor Peters talked about a lot. It was written back in 1964 by Elizabeth Dilling. It was a book that Jack Moore introduced him to, and I can't remember if Pastor Earl Jones introduced it to Jack Moore or not. It is, it's reprinted. It's got a different cover than it did before, but it's one that I've had a lot of people that have been inquiring for that book over the years. You could find a used copy for about $1,800 before on eBay. But it is back in print. These are really good prints. It's got the original, all the original documents in the back of it, and pictures just like the original did. Fantastic book. It is available for a $30 donation. And it's definitely worth spending the money on for and adding it to part of your library. And I did want to tell people that there was, a couple years ago, we did not think that it was going to be reprinted, and I know that there's people out there that ordered that book, and when we did have it available years ago, and wanted to be placed on a backorder list, and I don't have that list. If you did pay for the book, and if you did purchase it in the past, and did not receive it, just make sure and let me know, and I'll make sure that you get a copy sent to you. But it is fantastic. We were excited about it. Gentleman contacted me and said that they were reprinting it and got me in touch with who was reprinting it, the publisher, and did get it this last week, got it in stock. So let me know if you'd like a copy of that. I haven't got it up on the cart yet, but it is a $30 book, and it's a good one. Also, we are printing the Dragon Slayer newsletter. It is on the presses. Do keep that in your prayers. There's a lot of work that goes into that. And everything just came together. It was a working of the Holy Spirit. After we had the Truth for the Times last week, none ever call it conspiracy, I finished reading the book again. And I just felt like it really fit in with everything that we see going on in society today. So decided to put that in. We've never put it in a newsletter, and wanted to get that, put that in and send it out. It's just part of it. It's just a small portion of it. We did continue on with Knowing Your Heritage, which is a fantastic article, and hope you enjoy it. But, you know, if you're not on that Dragon Slayer list, let me know. We'd like to send it to you, get it out, send it out first class mail. Hopefully we'll get it out next Wednesday or Thursday. That's the plan. Yeah, there it is. None ever call it conspiracy. And that was a fantastic Truth for the Times that we played last week. There's the book on the screen. And if you'd like that book, that's a $3 book. normally, but we are offering that one free of charge right now. If you'd like it, just write to us and request none ever call it conspiracy. And a lot of good information in there. And with that said, I think we're going to, what time is it? We got time for a video. This is a video. I played it here at the beginning before we got started this morning and had a couple of emails. People caught the last half of it. They tuned in. They didn't tune in late. I just started early, but was just playing this as filler as we were getting ready to start, and they wanted to see this video again. So they wanted to see it in its entirety. So we'll go ahead and play that video there, Justice.
Flashing on Dundee Street, rumors faster than police feet. Braveheart girl, the headlines roar. Truth gets trampled, clickbait scores.
Arrive by boat, demand for star. We don't know who you even are. We raise our flags, they sneer far. What's a grooming gang? London sighs while mothers clang. Politicians dodge, the bills grow tall, the taxpayer pays the tab for all. Arrive by boat, stay rent free. Full hotels, but no room for me. We raise our flags, they scream extreme. But pride. Despite their dream. From Ulster streets to valleys in Wales, from Cornish coasts to Highland trails, the Union Jacks refuse to fall. They call it hate, we call it all. Epping burns with protest flame. Ministers shuffle, none take blame. Charity's worn of hunger's bite, but brave heart echoes, stand and fight. Arrive by boat, we foot the bill. Freedom's gone, but the minibar's filled. We raise our flags, they mock on cue, but we wave them strong, the red, white, blue. Arrive by boat, demand for a star. We don't know who you even are. They may take our lives, that's true, but they'll never take our flags from you.
And greetings to the once lost and now found sheep of the House of Israel. Today, this day, November 2nd, 2025, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you here this morning. We're glad that you were able to join us, and I begin by reading and defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found, as you all know, in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Excuse me. And that's the beginning of, or that's the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. I would like to, this morning, go back up to verse 4, where it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend that. You know, last week, probably, I don't know what day it was. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. I was driving up north to my cabin, and I was thinking about, what is the greatest gift that God gave us? We all know that it's Jesus Christ, but what is the one that he gives to everybody? And what he gives to everybody is life. He gives us life. We each and every one of us have a measured amount of life that we are allowed to be on this earth, that we are allowed to take the things that we learn and apply them to our lives and be an example of what to do or what not to do. If you think about it, both is true. If you are an example of what not to do, you are truthfully being an example of what not to do. If you are an example of what to do and what pleases God, you are also telling the truth. But I was sitting there thinking, this gift that God has given us, if you go back to the beginning in Genesis, where God created Adam and Eve, and you sit there and you read what God told Adam. He says, when you grow up, you leave your mom and dad, I'm paraphrasing, and cleave to your wife. What does that mean? Cleave to your wife. I think it means, as men can probably relate to this. I don't know if women can. But as a man, when you have a wife, what are you agreeing to do? You are agreeing to spend your life on that woman. The currency that God gives each and every one of us is a measured amount of time. And if you have a wife, you are designed to pour all of your energy into that woman. That is what you're designed to do. You're a man, and what do? You provide, you protect, you build shelter. You go out like Dave Ramsey says, and you kill stuff and drag it home and eat it. That's a little caveman-ish, but concept's the same. You pour all of your energy into that woman. And out of that energy, there comes the product, comes kids, a home. There's something about a home that's got a woman's touch. She is added to you. But that is what men, you and I, are designed to do. To pour energy into our wives. Now, I'm not saying, now some of you might be squinting your eyes and wrinkling your nose up. What do you mean by that? No. If everything, like, if you think about it, what did God do? He, with Israel, he wanted to pour all of his energy, all of his blessings into Israel's wife, which he had to obey, but he wanted to give her all that stuff. He wanted to make her the head and not the tail. He wanted to bless everything that Israel did and put their hands to do, if they were in the will of God. That was his energy. How did he do that? By giving him his law, by giving them his thought process, by giving them, Israel, his word, giving Israel his political system, and then their job was to spread it around the world. But what'd they do? They followed Baal. They were a evil, adulterous wife, woman, and God could not take it anymore. And why couldn't he take it anymore? Because he resented the fact that he was doing all this stuff and he wasn't appreciated. So what did he do? He sent her away with a writ of divorce. He no longer could pour his energy into Israel. He couldn't do it. So when I say, men, what are you designed to do? You're designed to pour all of your energy into your household, your woman. What would she give you back? Well, now she's a bag because of all this feminism going on around. You are going to be unappreciated. Women have how do I want to say this? It's very difficult for women to take responsibility for their actions. And it's very difficult for them to say that they're sorry. So Israel had the same problem. A woman's job is to appreciate the energy that man, what is he doing? He is sacrificing his time and his energy and his life for that woman, that household, the family. All of his focus is on those three things. He doesn't think about other things. He doesn't have time to think about it. He is dumping his life, that currency that God gave him, into that woman and the family. So men, how are you going to spend your currency? Are you going to be godly? Are you going to be honorable to God? Are you going to be obedient and submissive to him as you are called to be? You know, sometimes I sit there and I think, whenever me and my wife get into a tiff, and I know all of you out there that know my wife, think there's no way that those two would ever get into a fight. Well, I'll tell you what, though, we've gotten into some good ones. And all of you have that are married. I mean, I've been married 18 years now, which is hard to believe. I lost my train of thought there a second. I can't remember. Anyways, point is, when you spend your currency godly in a godly manner, you know, men, be honorable. Be doers of what you're designed to do. Now, I'm not saying everyone's like supposed to be super savage and stuff like that. I mean, that's just not the way it is. But, you know, do a good job and pour your energy and make sure it goes where it's supposed to. Women, you need to appreciate what your husbands do for you. Women really, like, all right, you chicks out there, like, if you have a husband that's like a blue-collar guy, like, I remember when me and Katie were married. At one point, I was in construction. I did big concrete floors. My wife literally had no idea what I did during the day. She knew I did concrete, but she didn't understand the level and intensity of the group of guys that I worked with and the projects that we would take. And we would just hammer. Because winter's coming, then you get laid off. And we were working 14, 16-hour days. I know a lot of you probably think, that's not true. Like, dude, you should have rolled with us. But my wife literally did not know what I physically had to do in order to keep everything even or to be able to save a little bit. It's not her job to know what I'm doing when it comes to that. The only thing a guy wants is to be appreciated and a thank you and to receive that energy with that man puts in to that woman with joy. If a woman receives that energy with joy, that empowers her man, and then you just don't know what that guy's capable of. What I'm trying to explain to here is, make sure on both parties, be unified. Husbands, work hard. You're designed, I know a lot of you, I don't think it, you're designed to like really, really hammer down. Women, you're designed to take it, that energy with joy, and build the house, build the home, give that woman touch. Tell them you appreciate them. Really, that's all what God wants from us, is Israel, the bride, actually appreciate what I'm doing. So in him was life. So here's another thing. Back in Genesis, it says that Adam was made in God's image. I mean, just think about that. If everybody is doing their part and operating in the box that God put them in, if man is made in God's image, then that man, if he feels respected, feels appreciated, if he's made in God's image, you really don't need to pray to God. Well, I mean, and I'm not, you need to honor God and know that God gave you the ability to accomplish very great things. Now, when the family unit gets broke down, gets divided, I mean, and I know people that have been living together that they, husband and wife, literally spend their time working against each other, and they don't end up accomplishing squat together. I know other couples that work together that you don't even know. I also know other couples that, well, the husband is very successful, but he's not appreciated. And I'll tell you that one thing. Women don't want their husbands not feeling appreciated and being successful, because chances are what they're doing is they're using that resentment as fuel. But back to, like, when the family unit is working together and functioning properly, that man, that unit, family unit, can accomplish many great tough goals. I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, like when God set up Israel as a marital deal, they were going to work together, and he was going to show his power and his might and what he can do for an obedient people. But they rendered God ineffective because of their inobedience to be able to do the job and the task and the mission. Now, it didn't take his power away. It built up resentment, and he divorced her. But he remembered the promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that maledictory oath. He wailed, set up a new covenant. So that way, if she turns from her old ways, that family union can be brought back together, reconciled. He has to die to understand her fault. I'm going to put a plug in there. If you're new to this ministry, you need to order the book, The Greatest Love Story Never Told. That'll tell you why you need to repent. If you do things God's way, that life was the light of men, that gift and that currency, that measured amount of time that each and every one of us has, can be a wonderful thing, and it can be a blessing to generations to come. That is why I do this every single week with you guys. Because I believe that if we get our ducks in a row, we can be a blessing not only to ourselves, but to our children's children and our neighborhoods and our country. Instead of selling fake fire insurance like those Judeo-Christian preachers sell. Now, last week when I recorded, we had technical difficulties. But one of the things I said, and it didn't end up getting played, but one of the things I said about Judeo-Christian preachers, Christian preachers, what they do is they sell, it's a fake insurance policy. It's like an auto insurance policy. You know, the job of the company, the insurance company, is to collect premium. And then when there's a wreck or a fender bender, like, I'll give you an example. My son got into a little fender bender. What happened to my insurance? It went up. And they said it was because he's more risky. No. Well, actually, you know what? I didn't even file the claim, and it still went up because there was a ticket. So they didn't have to pay out. What kind of insurance is that? How is it any different than what goes along those pulpits there? They collect and collect and collect and collect money. But when people die, if they've accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and not died through watery baptism. I went over that last week, but never got played. What good are they? They collect premiums and don't deliver. But why I'm here is because I think that light was the life of men. The Word is trying to help. Anyways, that's my rant for this morning. If you have your Bibles, come with me. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I'll begin by reading in verse 1. Actually, 12. Excuse me. Not 13. Now, about the time of Herod, the king laid hands on some of those who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So, Herod, the king, the Roman dude in charge, was roughing up the Christians. And what did he do? And we went over this a few weeks ago. He saw that it pleased the Jews. Now, the way the word Jews is used in this context, because I have three different ways that it goes off in my mind. It is those of the religious type. Not the, well, it's because of where the location where they were born, but not the, doesn't necessarily mean a Benjaminite or somebody from the tribe of Judah, which could only be a Jew at that time, not the other 12 tribes. But this is the religious leaders, the Judeo-Christian preachers, the dirty birds. You have to keep everything in the context how it's used. But what did he do? He saw that it pleased them. And everybody wants to, for some reason, everybody gets all mushy-gushy when the Jews get, them stinking Edomites get all happy. Oh, it makes, you know, please them, all great. Everyone seems to think that's the best thing that they've done. Verse 4. And when he had seized him, he put him in the prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard them, intending after the Passover to bring them out before the people. So, four squads of guys, maybe there's 12, 13 guys in there. There's 48, 50 guys in there that are watching over Peter. So, Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and the light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hand. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and did not know what was being done by the angel was real, or did not know what was being done by the angel. And he did, excuse me. I missed the word he in there. It just wasn't making any sense. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when he had passed by the first and second guard, they came to the iron gates, which leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel departed. So we have a miraculous jailbreak for the Apostle Peter. And the gate opened on it, so it was like the Jedi mind thing. You remember watching Star Wars where the Jedi go out and stuff would move around? One of those type of deal. So Peter was miraculously busted out, jumped out of prison, and then by an angel of the Lord, and nobody laid a hand on him. Chains fell off him without nobody touching him. Sounds like a miracle to me. Verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel to rescue me from the hand of Herod and all that the Jewish people were expecting." So even Peter, I mean, Peter would be considered a Jew as well, but because he's from the tribe of Judah. I think he is. I guess I don't know if it even says. Yeah, I think it does stand. He is from the tribe of Judah. But anyways, but he even recognized that the Jewish people, like, they weren't his friends. What does it say? He says, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel to rescue me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Does it sound like Peter was friends with these Jews? No. He recognized that they were his enemy. Why? Because they didn't believe in the real Jesus. Not like these Judeo-Christian preachers now. They tell you, you know, Israel, you know, the Jews today, they just don't understand that Jesus was the Messiah. And, you know, you just got to hug them and love them and, you know, embrace them. And just, you know, someday they'll know. Someday they'll know. They already know. They already know. They are enemies of Christ. They are from the synagogue of Satan. They are those that it says in Deuteronomy 28 that if God's people violate his law, that are put in power. You do not want to be those two-legged snakes. You just don't want to be those people. You do not want to be the people that it says in Hosea, they feed off of Israel's sin. These people are empowered by what? Violation of God's law. By sin. Do you think Peter didn't understand that they were very powerful in the Babylonian system and that they were those that were feeding off of Israel's sin? I mean, this is all Bible stuff. I didn't make any of that up. He was rescued from those people, and Peter recognized it. Verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, and many were gathered there and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhonda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the front gate. So this servant girl, you know, you hear the, who is that? It's Peter. Oh my gosh. This is the guy that we're praying for. Forgets to open the door and runs in and tells everybody, it's Peter, and he's at the front door. Now, this is their response. They said to her, you are out of your mind. It says that in an exclamation point. But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, it is his angel. Okay. What were these people doing? Who? They're praying. Who were they praying for? Well, as it says in as it says earlier, that the people were praying fervently for Peter, for God's protection. They're probably praying for his release. They're probably praying for some type of miracle. And this is what happened. They got exactly what they were praying for. What was their response? They said to the servant girl, Rhonda, you out of your mind. So Rhonda was actually the messenger, you can kind of look at it from God, the messenger from God, you can stop praying about this now because the Lord has answered your prayer because Peter's standing at the front door. What'd they say? You're out of your mind. Do you see how quickly people can be double-minded? They got the answer that they were looking for and they didn't believe it. They weren't going to take that servant girl's word for it. And she's off of, and then what'd they say? It's his angel. Now, I don't know why they would say that, you know, I mean, but it's his angel. Like, I was, honestly, I mean, me personally, I think about that response. I'm like, that's got to be the dumbest response I've ever heard in my life. It's his angel. Okay, if you actually truly think that there's somebody standing out there, and then, well, you're not believing what the servant of the Lord is saying, that it's Peter out there, then you're even denying that it's Peter and saying it's his angel. wouldn't you be running out there to see this guy if you did think he was an angel? It's craziness. It's how dumb people are. I mean, just sheep. Like Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you've ever worked with sheep, sheep are stupid. Capital S-T-U-P-I-D, exclamation point. Stupid, not a compliment. This is angel. That's craziness. But Peter continued, verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. So they're amazed that their prayer was answered. After they got done arguing with this girl, well, maybe we'll go out and knock, open the door. Verse 17, but mentioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described how the Lord had led him out of prison, and he said, report these things to James and the brethren. And he left and went to another place. Okay. So they were probably all hooting and hollering. And he puts his finger up. Shut your trap. Because obviously this is going to be pain for me. I mean, this ain't over. What do you do? So he made, well, he made like the dodo bird and disappeared. That's what he did. You guys remember the dodo bird? He's extinct. He vanished. Dodo's vanished. Peter vanished. He's like, I'm out of here. Verse 18. Now, when the day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have happened to Peter. When Herod searched for him and had not found them, he examined the guards and ordered that they'd away to execution. When he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Then he went down to Judea and to Caesarea and was spending time there. So, what happened here? This mirror ended up costing these soldiers their life. Them dudes got whacked. They got whacked because of it. Verse 20. Now he was very angry, full in Tyre and Sidon. With one accord, so he was mad. I don't know what was going on. Some type of political, they're probably going to stone him if they had a chance. But, I mean, think about it. The guy is very shallow-minded. He's a clown. He wants to impress the Jews, you know, the people. Because, you know, and all religious people, like, those guys understand. Most people understand. If you convince the people what the mind of God is, you have control of them. That's what these were in charge of. What makes God happy and what makes God mad? And these are the teachers that are, you know, that's their job. Keeps everybody in line. That's why our message is so... You know, Pastor Peter, he used to run into all kind of problems because what he was teaching, God's law is still in effect, and it leads to freedom. It leads to dirty bird preachers losing their job. It leads to politicians. Well, I mean, if you actually believe in the will of or the law of God, politicians being hauled out and executed for all the stuff that they've done. I mean, just think what our country's done to other... Just think what our country did to the nation of Iraq 20 years ago. What business did we have in there? Waste. Like, I know dudes that were over there. I knew a dude that was in the 101st and another dude that was in the 10th Mountain. And I can't remember what my other buddy was, what he was in. But they told me what would go on there. People that had done nothing in the United States, just because of the insurgencies, and a lot of people suffered. For what? But if God's people and these dirty bird Jew lovers that never formed a multitude of nations would actually preach the will of God, they would be out of a job. They would not be in power. They would lose all of their power and their prosperity. They wouldn't have any more feed, because people would be executing the will of God. So Herod goes down here, and he's got some big problem. He's mad at the people, and, you know, he's a man of power. We already see what he did with the soldiers when Peter was there. He executed them, really without any cause. You know, he probably thought that they were traitors and were part of the church. That's probably what he thought. That's the only thing I can think of. Anyways, he goes on the tent side, and he was having problems with him. And all the people come out. I mean, get pick up in verse 20. With one accord, they came to him, having won over Blastius, the king of Chamberlain. They were asking for peace because their country by the king's country. Verse 21. And on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, he took his seat onto the rostrum and began delivering and addressing them. People kept crying out, "The voice of a God, not a man." And immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory. He did not give God the glory and was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. So Herod, he met his end because they said, the voice of a God, not a man. He was addressing him. He's going to solve all these problems for all these people or whatever. I don't really know what the situation was, but he didn't honor the true God. And an angel took him out immediately. Be careful. Don't get too big of a head. And we're on verse chapter 13 next week. With that, I'm out of time. For those of you who are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. Hearts and our minds for communion. I want to start off by reading in John chapter 6, verse 52 and verse 53. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because the Father, so he who eats me also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and as we eat of your body and drink of your blood, we ask, Father, we claim this truth and this scripture and apply it to our lives. We ask, Father, that you do the work inside of us so that we can be forgiven of our sins. And that on that last day that we apply that blood of the covenant to our lives. We thank you for this, and we thank you for the shed blood and the broken body. We give thanks for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we come humbly before you, knowing that this body was put upon the cross for me. Pray that as we partake of this today, that it makes a difference, that we try harder, strive stronger, live better lives, that we can be a blessing to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You may partake. And I hope you stay tuned for the next hour. If you missed it, the first hour, Truth for the Times with Pastor Peters and Pastor Earl John, Christians Before Columbus.
There's a spirit in our land raising up a kind of man with a burning in his heart to dream. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who loved their liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth, the right to
Just deep their arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our peace. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty.